You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
This is Bloomberg Business Week. I'm Carol Masser.
And I'm Bloomberg Quick Take's Tim Stenovek. We're here every day bringing you the latest news from the worlds of business and finance.
Plus technology, politics, economics, all harnessing the power of Business Week reporters and editors.
Not to mention our 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries.
You can download Bloomberg Business Week on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Bloomberg.com.
You can also listen to our radio show at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Bloomberg Radio.
Or watch us on YouTube. Search Bloomberg Global News. All right, let's talk about COVID. Certainly something we're dealing with, a pandemic, we continue. Moderna shot, we did see Sweden and Denmark decide to stop vaccinating younger people with that shot because of potential side effects. Neighbor Norway recommending that young men choose Pfizer instead. And in the United States, the Biden administration, Tim, announcing $1 billion purchase of rapid at-home tests. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm holding up my arm saying hallelujah because
they
these
heard
are
you,
impossible
Tim.
To
they
find.
Heard you.
They did.
All right, let's get to it with Dr. Ian Lospader back with us, a go-to voice for us on the pandemic, clinical professor of medicine at NYU Langone on the phone. Hey, Dr. Lospader, nice to have you back with us on Bloomberg Radio. This Biden administration push, good thing for these at-home tests?
Absolutely. Yeah. Happy Wednesday, guys.
Yeah.
Not our usual Friday, but good to do Wednesday.
Yes.
The at-home tests make tremendous sense, both for a variety of people, who, whether they've been vaccinated or not, because COVID presents like many other viruses, fever, runny nose. And certainly one would want to know, do you have just a common cold or are your symptoms COVID? And, for example, even if you've been vaccinated, we've seen a significant breakthrough, really month by month. Many of the vaccines, certainly the Pfizer vaccine, if you haven't had a booster, month by month those antibodies drop and we're seeing more breakthrough, probably for a variety of reasons, and probably there are other variants that are, you know, piercing the vaccine. But at-home tests are great, and if again, pending their accuracy, but if they're as accurate as some of the initial ones are, that can be very helpful. You can self-isolate. You can inform your doctor sooner. You can get a confirmatory nasal swab. You could get monoclonal antibodies. Hopefully you'll start on, you know, the Merck drug when it's approved as an antiviral. So there are really a lot of benefits for this, and I think it's great. And hopefully we'll get other at-home tests, whether it's influenza or RSV or other things where you don't overload the healthcare system.
Yeah, I know a lot of startups that are certainly working on this and using this as an opportunity to develop at-home testing for other ailments. Hey, Dr. Lospader, I'm wondering if there is any concern about data here. Because if people are testing positive for COVID at home, they're not necessarily being entered in a public database that keeps track of where hotspots could be emerging. And I wonder if that would or could present a challenge to public health officials.
Well, certainly, I think the most important thing is letting people know if they have COVID, because then they're not going to affect other people. Your point about data is 100% correct. We do not have a universal healthcare system, a healthcare record. Other countries that have a lot of data, like Israel and the United Kingdom, have a national health service where everything is recorded. They can do studies, and that's why a lot of data, we're relying on other countries instead of ourselves, because data is poorly entered and not easily accessible. That's a bigger issue, and I agree we should have a universal healthcare record. We can talk about it on another show, but you're right. That would be a problem with the test. But I think that rapid in-home test, the advantages far outweigh any of the disadvantages.
Hey, one thing I want to ask you, I'm getting ready to do some traveling for the first time, and I'm thinking about when I got my vaccines. I've been thinking about this a lot, Ian, and it was like kind of middle, end of April. So here I'm getting ready to travel 6 months, 7 months later. Do I need to be concerned because I'm not part of the group?
Wait, we're traveling together. Do I need to be concerned being around you?
Well, yeah, exactly. You don't have a booster either. Do I need to be worried about traveling around you? So I need some guidance.
You know, you've got a few options. You could certainly check your antibody levels, the spike antibody. Again, we don't want everyone doing that because that is a strain on the system.
Yeah.
But people who are 6 months out, and you are 6 months out or longer, do lose antibodies. We do see people who've had two shots who don't have detectable antibodies, and certainly those people should get a booster, either the same. The party line is if you've had two Pfizer, take Pfizer. Moderna, we're waiting for the third approval for that. So I think it's very reasonable. If you've had two Pfizer shots, either take the third if you're going to travel or check your antibodies. You know, unfortunately, we don't have data how well people do after the third because, again, that's three shots of the alpha variant, and we're seeing delta and beta and gamma and mu and other variants that, you know, can make you sick. But the thinking is that you will be less sick with certainly the two or three shots.
That's good to know. Useful advice. News we can use.
I hope that was helpful for you.
Yes, no, absolutely. Always good stuff that we get from you and thoughtful stuff. And I know we never have enough time, but always look forward to the next time with Dr. Ian Lusbader. He's clinical professor of medicine, NYU Langone Medical Center, on the phone in New York City. I do think about this fourth wave, and I do think about not having the booster and getting ready to travel.
Yeah, if you have a terminal, check out Bloomberg Intelligence. Sam Fazeli has a really interesting piece about the fourth wave likely to be driven by immune escape variants. Scary.
Immune escape.
Yeah, I don't like the sound of that.
So that means so much for the vaccines,
but
right?
Yes, in those cases. I mean, we don't know about the data when it comes to Merck yet.
Yeah.
About the approval process. But I think that's right. Dr. Lusbader joined us on Friday, joined us just now. It's a real opportunity. I mean, it's a real idea of turning the corner.
And we do have a lot more tools than we used to.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, buy land, grow cannabis, welcome in tourists, and then repeat.
Sounds like easier said than done, right?
Exactly. We're talking about pot tourism, and there have been big dreams of it up in Canada. But, Tim, it's being dashed by some pretty tough rules.
Right. It's not as simple as being able to do that. For example, you can't even have windows that aren't blacked out because they don't want minors to see the weed that's in there.
Some really tough rules. All right, so let's find out exactly what's going on. This story in the upcoming issue of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands tomorrow online and on the Bloomberg. Bloomberg News Toronto Bureau Chief Danielle Bocove joining us on the phone in Toronto. Hey, Danielle, good to have you here on Business Week. So tell us what's going on.
It's a bit of a mess. You find a point on it if you want to sell pot from your farm. So let's backtrack a little bit. I went out to do this story in the first place because I was pitched by a PR firm that represents some Ontario growers, and they had written to me about these kind of dreams that some of the producers in Canada, where pot is now legal, had in terms of ways to actually sell cannabis from their farms. And I thought this was really intriguing because the idea is kind of lovely, right? They're talking about sort of leveraging things like wine tourism, maybe even poaching some of those tourists. And you get this sort of idea that what you're going to see is people traveling along these sort of quiet country roads from vineyard to apple orchard to pot farm, sampling Ontario's bounty. And it just turned out that that's not what is happening.
Why is that exactly, though? I mean, you paint a really nice picture of what you could actually do there. I mean, it's exactly like being at a winery, right?
Sounds kind of heavenly. Room,
but in some instances, Danielle, you write that the people who work at these facilities can't even sample their own product.
Yeah, there are so many rules in terms of what they're not allowed to do and the way they have to do things. So, I mean, let's start with what they are allowed to do, which is if they get the correct licenses and amendments to their licenses, and it is a very long and bureaucratic process, then they are legally allowed to sell some weed on site in a very convoluted way. So technically what they actually have to do is they have to route some of their product through the Ontario Cannabis Store, which is the government-regulated buyer, so that the government still gets its cut. But they can do it without it actually leaving the property. So that's great. It means that they don't have all the shipping costs and all of that. But they can't take people on tours of the fields because they're worried about contamination. They can't offer sampling. They can't serve food. They can't serve wine. If they do open a gift shop, you mentioned the windows have to be blacked out because they can't risk there being a minor in the parking lot who sees inside. So you're not kind of talking about, you know, a roadside stand selling eggs. You're not going to see patios with tables and umbrellas set up. There's not much left when you tick all those boxes.
How about
off.
We all just like smoke a little bit and let's figure out these rules and make it all like, why can't we all just be happy? I'm just saying.
Don't need to smoke, you know. There's edibles too.
That's right. That's true. So Joel Weber, editor of Bloomberg Business Week.
So I still can't get over when we just like have amazing photos of like a lot of ganja in the magazine. It's just like, oh wow, look, it's a lot of marijuana.
Is that a recent shift, Joel?
You can't overdo it. You know, like it is very easy to do too much marijuana coverage.
Oh,
and thought I was going somewhere else.
We didn't know what you were talking about.
But you know, I think that's a good segue here because you know, if there is going to be a tourism boom, Danielle, what do we think it might look like? Where is there a hope?
You know, I have a hard time believing it's going to happen if the regulations don't change. And that is kind of, I think, what was kind of at the heart of the story, right? It's like you have these people, I said there are puns everywhere, but you have these people with these high hopes. And then you're faced with the reality, right? They have this kind of evangelical almost excitement about their product and the potential and the medicinal aspects of it. And then you pull up in front of their operation, and the first thing you see is the security. There are high fences. There's barbed wire. There, you know, it's not
like the antithesis.
I would want to have my vacation, but you know.
So, all right, you know, because we know investors have been hot and heavy for this world, and we've seen kind of booms and busts with it. I feel like, Danielle, what's the outlook here? Will things change? I don't know. How do you, or what are you hearing in terms of how it ultimately plays out longer term here?
I think there's still a tremendous market for cannabis, obviously. And when I was speaking to Brendan Dittmar, who's the master grower there, the stuff he's doing that he's experimenting with, even not being able to sample as he grows, which is yet another one of the restrictions, you're not allowed to taste. Because there's this regulation where they need to account for every leaf in the supply chain. So he says that all of his crossbreeding and testing has to basically be done by sight and smell. But he's experimenting with like these terpenes, which are the flavonoids in the cannabis that smell like pineapple, and they have all of these different flavors like cheese and Mountain Dew and things like that that are supposed to be very good for you, they say, as well as delicious. And he's also doing a lot of experimentation with THC, which is obviously the component of cannabis that gets you high. And that's really the reality is where the market is. Certainly in Canada right now, the demand is for ever higher levels of THC. And there is a lot of money that can be made doing that. And so I think that what is going to happen is that for those growers who are willing to go through all of the steps and invest a huge amount of money on just the hope of getting a license, because it all has to be done up front. If they manage to get their license, they'll be selling to to Ontario regulated stores, and they'll be making their money that way. The Farmgate side, it sounded like a nice kind of peripheral revenue stream. I really have trouble imagining that it's going to take off.
And I wonder, you know, also like at some point if the U.S. though and how things shake out here. Man, there's so many puns that are throwing the fire around here.
I know, you're holding back.
It, right? You try not to,
and they just happen. They happen organically. You just can't make it up. But, you know, it does make you wonder if there could be a little bit of rivalry between the U.S. and Canada in terms of what's allowed at farms.
And Danielle, just go back 20 seconds, just quickly.
Maybe it's possible, and I mean, my guess would be that if we ever get to that point, that the regulation would be more permissive on the U.S. side of the border, just, you know, speaking from my puritanical Canadian roots, but who knows, right? If there's money to be made, maybe we'll soften our stance a little bit. Right now, it's pretty tough.
What?
I said, I have the giggles.
Oh, you do have the giggles. All right, Jill Weber and Danny Bokov, Toronto Bureau Chief.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts Gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
All right. Underway this week is the Bloomberg Invest Global event, talking about all kinds of global investments, asset classes, the top voices in so many different investment fields. Tim actually caught up with our Gina Martin Adams to really talk about the market outlook, right?
Yeah, we had a great chat this morning. You can check it out on the TLive blog, too, where we're covering everything in real time.
Yeah, and also our Bloomberg editor-at-large, Eric Schatzker, had a couple of really smart conversations, including one with Don Fitzpatrick over at Sora. So let's bring in Eric. He's here in our Interactive Brokers studio. She's a big deal.
Dawn Fitzpatrick is a big deal because she runs money for George Soros. Talk about a tough job, right?
Yeah.
You're working as an investor for one of the greatest investors of all time. No question about that. Never mind all of the other stuff that gets people excited about George Soros and divides them on the subject of George Soros. In any case, she is an extraordinarily impressive individual. She's one of the few people in that kind of a role, few women in that kind of a role, running multiple billions of dollars. In fact, they've got about $30 billion under management. And you can imagine sort of the light and the heat on her, not just because of the work she does for George. In any case, it's a rare opportunity to talk to Don Fitzpatrick because
she's
doesn't do very much in public. And there's a lot to ask her about. Of course, we talked about inflation and the potential for stagflation, the S word of the moment. We also talked about China. And she has a dim view of China. I want you to listen to an excerpt of this interview, and I'll expand on it after you've heard the soundbite.
But, you know, for 20 years, Chinese tech companies having Western capital and a Western vested interest in their success very much suited China's goals. They don't need that anymore. So they can take their $700 billion and take it back onshore into Hong Kong. And I think that's what they're going to do. So when it comes to the U.S. Chinese listings, if I were investors, I'd be really careful here.
What she's talking about is the sea change underway in China. President Xi has decided that the breakneck growth that these tech companies, Weibo, for example, or Alibaba, have had has to come to an end, that doesn't want the enormous wealth inequality that's developed in China, and that every company, as Don put it, every company in China now is a state-run enterprise. That's how it's going to function. And that has enormous implications for investors. You've just heard what she thinks investors need to be wary about when it comes to Chinese stocks traded in the U.S. And she's not alone, right? John Pollock, the co-CEO of Elliott Management, said the same thing effectively. But she thinks that this is no time to be putting money into China, and Soros is backing away.
Also making news, Eric, at least in my universe, was her comments about cryptocurrency. Bring us up to speed on what she said, because this got a lot of
I'll tell you why this got so much attention, because when I interviewed Dawn for the first time back in March, she hinted that Soros might have some crypto investments. She didn't say it outright, and shame on me, I didn't. As a matter of fact, maybe not shame on me. I think, in fact, I did ask her, and she said, I'm not going to answer that question. But this time around, she did. I pointed out that, you know, we were talking about inflation, and she was talking about where you could go and position yourself. Maybe, as she is, you take a short position on treasuries and other government bonds around the world. And I said, well, what about Bitcoin at $50,000? And she said, you know, yes, as a matter of fact, we own some coins. Didn't say how many. But that was the first acknowledgement that they are, in fact, invested in crypto. She subsequently went on to say that they think that the use cases for blockchain, such as decentralized finance, DeFi, are way more interesting. And that gives you a little bit more insight into where they might be invested. They're probably, I'm saying this as a bit of a guess, but probably invested in some of the startups that are working on some of those decentralized finance solutions.
But it just also shows another step or embrace, if you will, by institutional investors. Increasingly, we're seeing that, right? It's coming out.
100%.
Big
100%.
Time. I feel like
all,
that was one of the
not all, but many of the large, more innovative, you know, sort of swing for the fences type of investors, Paul Tudor Jones is another, are invested in crypto.
Do you get the sense, though, Eric, that these institutional investors are, they don't want to miss out on something? Or is it they fundamentally believe in what it's the value proposition?
I don't know that they've crossed the I believe Rubicon, but they see that there's something that isn't just hype here. They don't know how it's going to end up. They're not putting a lot of chips on that square. But they are saying we need to have an allocation to Bitcoin or to crypto, more broadly speaking, whether it's 1% or 5% of the portfolio. We need to have, we need to dip our toe into that pool, because if 50,000 goes to 500,000, you can't afford to miss it.
Yeah,
exactly. Hey, just want to mention a headline. It really speaks to something you were talked about in your conversation with Don Fitzpatrick of Soros. President Joe Biden plans to meet virtually with Chinese President Xi before the end of the year. This is according to a senior U.S. official, with tensions, as we know, escalating between the world's two largest economies. Timely conversation as we see increasingly this decoupling between U.S. and China. One last thing. I sent you a message. Perfection, your conversation with Ken Griffin of Citadel at the Economic Club of Chicago. Just got about 45, 50 seconds. You guys talked about so much. Is there anything that he said? You prepped so well for your interviews. Is there something that, that he said that you were like, oh, I wasn't expecting that?
Well, for example, on the subject of China, why would Ken Griffin, guy who runs a hedge fund, guy who runs a market-making business, have a firm view on China? As it turns out, he's very deeply involved In the conversations that business people are having with the Biden administration, there was that call a couple of weeks ago. He was on it. He advised the Trump administration on China. He thinks the United States is making an enormous mistake decoupling from China. He says, you know, have no doubt about it. The Chinese are absolutely determined to match the United States technologically in every possible capability. And if they aren't buying it from us, they're going to develop it themselves. And their approach to competition, right, their ambition, their desire, their hunger, in his mind, is so much greater than ours. And that's why he thinks this needs to be a wake-up call. And Americans need to start thinking again about the kind of competitiveness that drove this country's economy out of the Second World War.
And China knows something about long-term planning. Just going to put that out there. Eric Schatzker, just a bit. Editor-at-large at Bloomberg News. Go to Bloomberg.com. Check out all of those smart interviews that Eric's been having at Bloomberg Invest and elsewhere.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
I'm driving in my car.
How about you let me drive?
Oh, no. This is not a toy.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I want to drive.
It's the question that drives us.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
All right, folks, just about 10 minutes left in today's trading session. You heard Charlie breaking down the trade, and we are definitely seeing quite a reversal in the Wednesday session. We are off our lows of the session and up near our highs. Let's get to it with Anna Hahn. She is Vice President and Equity Strategist at Wells Fargo Securities. She is on the phone in New York City. Anna, nice to have you back here on Bloomberg Radio. It has been an interesting market environment. Heading into today's session, we could have seen a fifth day where we had more than 1% moves on the S&P 500 to the upside or downside. But if we stay on track, that's not going to happen today. How do you explain a day like today in terms of the trade?
You're right, Carol. It's been a very volatile couple days for the S&P 500, the equity market overall. But today's move particularly, I think you got to put it into the morning session and the afternoon session. This morning, you're seeing sort of risk-off sentiment. People started getting actually concerned about the debt ceiling, what happens if it's not extended, and then boom, 1 p.m., around 1:15, you get news that the GOP is willing to come and extend that and negotiate and come to the table. And you saw the equity rally, just a sigh of relief over at least the immediate concern being lifted. And I think that's the action you're seeing today.
Does it just repeat, though, you know, when we get to November, when we get to December, the same sort of concern about D.C. and stalemate there?
It's possible, Tim. You know, we are far from out of the woods here. As I said earlier, you know, it's not like everything's peachy just because we got this extension. We got this extension, and now we need to see if we can actually turn it into a permanent lift of the ceiling or how that matter will be addressed. But, you know, some other factors that we consider as well is all this strong economic data coming out, also bringing in concerns about what the tapering timeline will look like. So you've got a lot of macro factors in this witch's brew here.
Yeah, no, that's a good point too, right? It's a mixed feeling, right? ADP employment change coming in significantly stronger than forecast, and we'll get that monthly jobs report come Friday. Signs that, as we hoped, more people coming back to work, and that's a sign of the economy getting back to where it was, fingers crossed, pre-pandemic levels. But at the same time, it also means these, you know, unprecedented stimulus measures, you know, the Fed taking its foot off the gas pedal. So we've got to kind of figure out those things and what that means for corporate earnings. What will it mean for corporate earnings? Because that will ultimately really determine the buy-in by investors, certainly on the equity side of things.
Right. You mentioned a lot of things there, Carol. Let me see if I can separate them out. So, you know, one thing, you have jobs. Jobs data looking better. Good news is good news.
Right.
You know, it means we can slowly take the training wheels off here, and that accommodation coming off the table, it's a good sign. But with that, of course, there's a concern, yields going higher. How is that going to impact corporates and their earnings? Now, if you think about it, obviously, you know, mathematically, you're going to see this different discount cash flow model. But generally speaking, for the corporates here, the bigger concern is what's going on with the supply chain. Now, you mentioned something, this back to work. You're right. You know, with the fall, kids going back to school, and also the peel back of the extra unemployment benefits we had, you have more and more people going back to work. And it's no surprise that we've had, that's going to help the labor shortage we've had. And with the helping of the labor shortage, people going back to work, that's going to help ease the supply chain issues we've had. And I think overall, that will help things later down the road for corporate earnings.
What about when it comes to inflation and how you're keeping an eye on the way that that affects margins? You mentioned supply chains, and I talked to Gina Martin Adams from Bloomberg Intelligence. She's a chief equity strategist at BI, and she's concerned that investors aren't paying enough attention to how sticky inflation is going to be, and we're going to start seeing that play out in upcoming earnings reports and really hitting margins because companies can't pass along those costs to consumers.
You bring up a great point there too. You know, what if inflation is here or higher and here to stay longer than, you know, quote unquote, the transitory view that a lot of people are taking? With that, I would say that when you look at the earnings early reporters, the best temperature check for us to see how they're doing, if they're able to hold margins and pass along price, is to look at corporate earnings, see what they're saying in those transcripts. And so far, it's a bit of a mixed bag. They're certainly concerned that maybe we won't be able to pass along those prices, but so far, corporates have been able to. That's our initial take. Now, as we go through this earnings season, the more information is revealed, the better grasp we're going to have on it. But for now, we have to realize that even if you have an issue this quarter, for inflation to be high enough for the Fed to bring forward their rate hike schedule, that's got to be a very big number, a very big concern. And for us, that's still not our base case scenario.
Right. It has to be a consistent trend, not just a one-month thing. It needs to be a steady trend line so that the Fed feels comfortable enough to ease off and not have to potentially come back again in to reverse course. Having said that, stagflation, we're increasingly hearing the S word. Just quickly, Anna, what are your thoughts about that? Is that something that you guys are discussing a lot there over at Wells Fargo?
I wouldn't say it's really the main concern here. It's something we are watching, like we said. You know, when you have this sort of environment where, especially data being reported, there's a lot of uncertainty around these numbers. Let me take, for example, the whiff on the estimates or the projections for, you know, non-farm payroll. You still see that all that uncertainty here makes it possible that you have these scenarios of what if we get stagflation? What if pricing power is not what we think it is? For us right now, not the biggest concern, but again, if something were to change, if we were to see some big red flags in this earnings season, that would be the first hint we look for.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Hey, listen, thank you so much. Anna Hahn, she is Vice President and Equity Strategist at Wells Fargo Securities, joining us on the phone in New York City.
Thanks for listening to Bloomberg Business Week. Download the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Bloomberg.com.
And you can also listen to our radio show at 2 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio or watch us on YouTube. Search Bloomberg Global News.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Attention campers, the new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to Camp Snoopy with Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. It's a new way to play with the Peanuts gang at Camp Snoopy. Now open, only at Kings Island, for the fun of it.
Meet Gary. Gary's about to become an Einstein in an instant.
Whoa, Einstein hair. I like it.
That's right, Gary, because you're using Salesforce powered by Einstein AI to connect data, predict business trends, generate personalized content, and wow customers.
I do feel a lot smarter.
Because you're not just Gary anymore. You're Gary, empowered by Einstein AI.
Did you hear that, team? I'm an Einstein.
Oh, can I get a selfie?
The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.